Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Yes, it's just another Thursday. Oh, my God. I think I've been doing this now for over 6 years. Yeah, over 6 years. Holy moly. So it's very windy out, and I was told we were going to get a nor'easter this weekend. So, you know, and I didn't even go to ShopRite yet and get all my goodies, but I'm usually well-stocked. So without further ado, I am going to wish everybody well for the weekend, and I am going to introduce my guest for this evening. Is a very special, special person. He is the husband of a very good friend of mine that I have been friends with on Facebook for many, many, many years, way, probably over a decade. And his name is Tom Giemek, aka TTT, and it stands for Too Tall Tom Giemek, because he's a very tall musician, engineer, and music producer. So, welcome, Tom.
Hi. How you doing, Nancy?
I'm hanging right in there. Thank you. I'm always looking forward to my shows. And I'm so excited to have you on because I normally, and by the way, folks, Tom is in North Carolina. So if the audio is like, you know, a little strange, you will know why. And I doubt it will be. But Tom, I just want to ask Tom the question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, who influenced you the most while growing up and why?
Well, that's a very good question. Going back to the mid-60s, I would have to say it would be my older brother, John DeMarc. He just passed away this past year after losing his battle with cancer. But he was, we had to share a bedroom growing up. So you can see what like that relationship, you know, my big brother is sort of overseeing me and the music I can play, and he's turning me on to all sorts of new things. But I remember coming home one day with my first album, and it was The Monkees. And my brother said, "You're not going to play that in here." And he proceeded to turn me on to this guy named Eric Clapton, this guy named Jimi Hendrix, and he told me to go back and return this album, and I did. I went back to the music store and proceeded to pick up Cream's first album, Fresh Cream. So you can see what direction he was sort of taking me in. So sharing the bedroom with him, I was really exposed at a young age to these brand new guitar players. And I had already been taking music lessons and was already playing the guitar. I was sort of into like all the surf stuff, Beach Boys, The Ventures, you know, stuff like that. Glen Campbell, what? I loved. But when he turned me on to Jimi Hendrix, my jaw hit the floor. And
right.
I knew at that point that I wanted to be a guitar player for the rest of my life. So he was very instrumental in getting that going for me. Throughout the years, we always stayed in touch. Like I said, he passed away this past year. And,
I'm so sorry. I've lost a sibling, too, and you have my sincere condolences because it's different than losing parents. I lost my Irish twin brother, Bobby. So I'm sorry to hear that, but he was a good big brother and led you in the right, down the right road, music-wise, for sure.
And when you sit there, put stuff on the record player, and being the avid little guitar player I was little at the time, probably about 5'9".
Wow.
And we used to have this old turntable, an old Garrard turntable, that went down to 16 RPM. And if anybody sort of knows that, just that's half the speed of 33 RPM, which is your typical record. And so everything would be twice as slow but it would be an octave down. But I would go through all these records and start figuring out all the riffs. I'd be figuring out Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton. And then along came an introduction to the blues, and specifically not so much the traditional legends of the blues, but being in the late 60s, I was originally exposed to the Allman Brothers. And I immediately loved the sound of Duane Allman, the slide guitar. So I would sit there with this record player at 16 RPM. I must have destroyed three copies of the Fillmore East album, learning how to play slide guitar. And it was, then it was about maybe 5 years later, some of my friends started getting me into more of the traditional blues, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, Elmore James. So that sort of came a little bit later, but the original rush was Duane Allman, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton,
The best of the best. I have to interject that I actually was really lucky to meet Duane Allman when I lived in San Diego, California. And he was at the Burnt Tavern in Solana Beach. And they had huge, big groups there. I met B.B. King there. I met Fleetwood Mac there. I met the drummer of Fleetwood Mac there. I met Duane Allman and numerous other, you know, iconic musicians and artists at that club. And I sang there once, which was really an fabulous experience. But getting back to your, I know that you're really known for your slide guitar. And I wanted to say that, Tom, I know you're younger. You're about a decade younger, I think, than my brother Billy, the guitar man, who is a jazz blues guitarist.
Yes.
And rock and roll, too. He was with, you know, he was with the James Cotton Blues Band as lead guitarist, and I know that you two played together. And then he went on tour with Clarence Clemons and the Red Bank Rockers for a year and a half later on. So tell me a little bit about those early days, because I think you were a little bit young to be at the Upstage when Bruce was coming out. But, however, you were very involved, even being so young, because my brother was young. So you had to be really super young and already an accomplished guitarist playing with New Jersey Shore musicians. So tell me about that.
Well,
I'm originally from
North Jersey. I was born in Morristown and lived in Madison, New Jersey. My father worked for Bell Laboratories and was transferred down to the Homedale office in 69. So in 70, we moved down to the shore. And yes, yeah, I was quite young, and I quickly made friends with a lot of the guitar players in my neighborhood. Some of them were guys like Bruce Wacker, another one, Ben Hicks, who he died fairly early, but he was my original guitar teacher at Red Bank Music, and we ended up becoming very good friends. Also from Middletown, where I lived, was Miami Steve Van Zandt.
Middletown.
Dave Kutchman, bunch of other guitar players. Dave Sandhammer, another phenomenal guitar player. So, yes, I was very young and hanging with guitar players that were 5-6 years older than me. So
right,
I started
right.
getting in bands with them. So, yeah, I was always that young kid on the block that everybody wanted to get in their band. And
yeah,
they said, you should hear him play slide guitar. So they'd get me in that way. So next thing you know, this kid, I'm very tall for my age, by the way.
I know, I was just going to say, but you weren't the shortest. You might have been the youngest, but you weren't the shortest by any stretch of the. You're like 6'4", right?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I'm 6'5". I used to be 6'6", but I've had some back operations.
Holy moly, I didn't know you were that tall.
So they cut a little bit of me out, so I'm a little shorter. But, yeah, baldness goes in our family. What's up?
Well, here
I am, this kid, hanging out with the older generation.
Right.
And that sort of always opened up another door, and then another door. So
right.
I was playing locally in basically the Red Bank area, and my good friend, Bruce Wacker, who also passed away this past year, phenomenal guitar player. We both lived in the same neighborhood, and we hit it off right away. And we'd be sitting there in our living rooms, you know, like I said, figuring out guitar riffs and showing me the latest things. And he answered an ad one day for a guitar in the Asbury Park Press for a guitar player. And it was this guy in Neptune called Bobby Bertelson.
And so Bobby.
He dragged me down for the audition, and
mm-hmm.
we both passed, and that was the formation of Bobby Burleson's first band, White Cracker, which went on for years afterwards, but I was in the original version. And that was my introduction to the Asbury scene.
Right.
And
I have to tell you something. I'm going to interrupt here. I'm sorry. I have to say it because it's such a small world, and I'm having one of those small world moments because I was really friendly with his sister, Patty Bertelson, growing up when I was in my teens, like 18, 19, 20s. And Diane Lusardi, who married Steve Lusardi, the B3 organ player. And we hung out all the time, every weekend. And we were out, you know, at all the clubs where my brother Billy was playing. So, and also I want to really quick say, before I forget, I just saw little Steven Tuesday night. I just saw him at the Hard Rock Cafe. They played the Hard Rock Cafe in Atlantic City. And my girlfriend, Beverly Beveridge, who's a promoter, and I'm in radio, of course, and a musician, we were really fortunate to get on the list for Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. And it was an absolutely fantastic, phenomenal band. And I was so impressed with Little Steven. I had never really seen him other than playing two songs at the Paramount Theater years ago. So I heard the 15 or 16-piece band that he had, and he did a phenomenal job of showcasing his individual talent aside from the E Street Band. So, but back to you. I just wanted to get that out.
There must have been something in the water in Middletown because there was so many great guitar players that I grew up, and he was one of them. He was already taking off and had moved out of Middletown by that point. Yeah, he was starting to make a name for himself. But it's funny you mentioned knowing Patty Bertelson. Of all people, Mrs. Bertelson, Myra Bertelson, bless her soul, is the one that gave me the name to Tall Tom.
Oh, my goodness.
The way the story goes, we were practicing with White Cracker in her basement in Neptune, and the ceiling's kind of low, and I'm sort of tall.
Right.
So I had to find, like, a nice little place where I could stick my head up in the rafters. And she would peek her head down the stairs, and all she would see is this body and no head. And she'd go, "Who is this too tall guy?"
And they
cracked up, and they said, "That's Too Tall Tom." One thing led to another, and Bobby would start introducing me at gigs as Too Tall Tom. So the next thing you know, all the Asbury Park is calling me Too Tall Tom. So that's how that started, bless her soul.
That's great. That's
and
great.
In the 80s, I sort of tried to get rid of that nickname, but everybody still kept calling me Too Tall. So I decided to go with it, you know. But that was really the introduction for me to Asbury Park. We were playing regularly at the Alamo. Oh, it used to be One Sane Man. Tom Potter was running it.
Right,
and
of course.
He gave us the keys to the place. We practiced there. We were the house band. We also played at the Drift Inn, which was before that was the Student Prince.
Right,
and
right.
Occasionally at the Pony. But, yeah, we were getting around with quite a name. Everybody liked what we were playing, and we were playing a lot of Allman Brothers, Eric Clapton, yeah, et cetera.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, you were rocking.
So that's where I started meeting a little bit all these people in, from the Asbury scene. Now, so I'll jump around a little bit. After White Cracker, I started to get around with some other bands. Through White Cracker, I met Richie Mitchell on keyboards, and he invited me to join a band that he was in called Side to Side, which featured Mike Burke on drums from the old days of Earth, and those bands with Bruce.
Okay.
Eddie Soles on vocals, Pat Morata on bass, and we were doing a lot of Little Feet type of stuff. And that lasted for a while. Then I got back together with this love-hate relationship with the Bertelsen brothers, and we formed Crack It. And, well, for years, I had left White Cracker, and they continued on for years. But then we got together later on, formed Crack It, which became very popular. That featured Mike Scapa on keyboards, Jake Battarossi on bass, Mike Quentin on guitar, myself on guitar, Bobby Bertelsen, Billy Laughlin on drums, and we ended up getting, I believe it was Wednesday nights at the Pony, and we were hauling them in, you know, we were doing pretty good. So my name was getting around a little bit more and more, and I was also doing some other side things, some jazz band, some fusion stuff with some other friends. But then I started getting in with Paul Whistler and Jersey All-Stars and playing with Vinny Lopez on drums, Paul Whistler, again, Mike Scapa on keyboards. And that's when I started meeting a lot of the upstage people.
Right,
and like you're right.
Right,
like you mentioned before, yes, I was too young, and I never experienced the upstage. So here I'm a young kid waltzing into this Asbury scene, you know, never really paying my dues at the upstage. But everybody accepted me anyway, and that's about the time when I met your brother, Billy.
Right.
And from around then, we had a lot of common friends, such as like Dave Myers, Big Danny Gallagher.
All right, of course.
And
yeah, which I used, a picture of him and you together, having your doing the slide guitar thing. I just want to back up for a minute to let you know, since you've been in North Carolina for a long time. I mean, you might see it on Facebook, but I know you're a really busy guy. I know you're always in your studio, that you have an in-home studio, and that you do a lot of recording and have a million albums, like 13, I think, is what I found out.
Well, my own
from
right now, I think there's
Susie.
About 16 right now.
Oh, my gosh. And then I know that you're involved in the private festivals, the music festivals that they have. But I wanted to just say that, you know, my brother Billy has been playing with Paul Whistler again since Paul moved back to Jersey from Miami. I met Paul years ago through Facebook, and then I met him in person. And him and my brother Billy started playing together, and they still play together when Billy's here. He's usually in Vermont. He's in Vermont a lot, though. He lives in Vermont.
Yes.
And he has a place in Tinton Falls. He comes down to Tinton Falls too, but they still play together, and sometimes they even just do a duo. You know, they call it the blues duo or something. I'm not sure of the name, but Paul Whistler is very active in New Jersey singing, you know, and getting around town.
It's great to see that he's still active, keeping his name out there, being that he is one of the original guitar players going back to the day. And also Sonny Ken, who I'd met through Red Music, taking lessons there.
Yeah.
Sonny Ken was the repairman there. So, guys like Sonny Ken and your brother Billy, they were sort of like they owned the scene. They were the guitar
players. Right,
that's
true. That's very true.
And so, it was fun meeting and being able to jam with them. Now, I got to play with Billy a lot in, but I mentioned Dave Myers on bass. We had formed what was called the Renegade Blues Band. And that was actually Billy Lilly on harmonica, Dave Myers, Steve Schrager. This is around the time when I was jamming with your brother. But then the Renegade Blues Band sort of morphed into, they got Billy Hector in there, and it became the Fairlanes.
Oh, you know every single musician that lives in Asbury for sure.
Yeah.
Or has
and then the other end of it became Big Danny and the Bombers.
40 years ago.
Fairlanes and then Big Danny and the Boppers. And then there was like a zillion versions of Big Danny and the Boppers with basically the same core, but each year would change a little bit. So that was like, being able to go to school with the legends of Asbury. But at the same time, I'm always, like I mentioned, I'm always doing things on the side. I was really into jazz fusion. I've done country, rock, classic rock, etc. Around that same time, I started from some old friends in Middletown who also lived down in Long Beach Island, going down there and forming a band and playing the circuit down there. That band was called J.D. Law. It featured two drummers, Judd Davies on drums and Tom Law on drums. So you can see we were doing sort of the Allman Brothers type of thing, and we were very popular down on Long Beach Island. And that went around for a bit, and then again, like I said, always doing these side projects, I ended up back with the Bertles, Bobby Bertelson. And that's when we formed Z-Band. Actually, we didn't form it. I replaced the guitar player, John Barney, who was the original guitar player with Z-Band. And a lot of people know the Z-Band was keeping up the same tradition that Bobby's older brother, Donnie Burleson, was doing with the Shots. I was originally an original member. It wasn't called the Shots. It was a band called Honky. It was me and Donnie and Sammy Bonacor, a couple other people. But then I was a phone number my friend gave me. It happened to be Tony Pellegrossi and Carlo Novi. So Carl got them in the band, and they had visions, and they brought in this guy named Billy Hector. Phenomenal guitar player.
Yeah, I know Billy, Hector.
And
they
replaced me and gave me the boot, but that was okay. So I ended up becoming a roadie for the original Shots. And me and Scotty Bigelow were roadies. And so that was a phenomenal experience right there. With Bobby, we did Z-Band, which was in the same tradition as the Shots. The full horn section, doing the R&B routine, Blues Brothers, Motown, you name it. And we were very popular for a while, and that, eventually, as most bands, which I hate to say, a lot of bands only have like maybe a year or two before various reasons break them up and you move on and form more bands. Well, that's why I met through Z-Band, became friends with John LaRocci and Frank Mara and et cetera. And at that point, John LaRocci was playing with George Thies. So that's where I met George, and we became very good friends. And I joined a later edition of the George Thies Band. I guess I replaced Mitch Malloy, who was their guitar player for a while. So, we were doing the George Thies Band for quite a while. And as we all know, George Thies passed away this year, too. We were all very saddened at And George had moved down here to North Carolina, so we ended up hooking up, and we were writing music and doing all sorts of stuff down here in my studio. And sadly, a lot of it didn't come to fruition because he started having health problems. But, getting to know all these common people on the Asbury scene. And like I mentioned, maybe they last a year, 2 years in one band, and then you regroup into a different band with a lot of the same people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one band. Go ahead. I'm going to say something when you're done.
Yeah, after George Feast, I sort of bounced back up to Red Bank and got into a band called South Seventh, which was Richie Otto. Paul Fabes, and did that around the Red Bank area. After that, bounced back down and joined what at that point was a revised Blackberry Blues Band. We called Blackberry Blues Band with George Meyer, Kenny Sorensen, Dave Myers. We had Mario Stiano on drums. We played around a bit doing that, and that was great.
Didn't Billy play with them for a little while, or no?
Who?
Billy, my brother. Didn't my brother Billy play with them
for a while? Yeah, a lot of times we had all these people floating in and out, so it's hard to keep track of all of them. But, I remember that at times.
Yeah.
Because, originally they had Paul Dickler on slide. And I sort of replaced that, and at times Billy would be there. And at the same times, we'd be having jams down at Maloney's with Whistler and the gang, and your brother would be in there for them, too.
Right.
So, there was always this, jamming going on the side. Everybody knew everybody. So it was like we'd call out a song, everybody knew it because we played them in the other bands.
Right, exactly.
So at that point, I'm still floating around. Other bands were formed, one called the Neptunes, which was, again, with Bobby Bertelson and Richie Mitchell on keyboards and the Healy Sisters on vocals. And that was short-lived, but that was another great band. Around that same time, we're getting into early 90s, I guess. And I had just hooked up again with the Red Bank guys, Richie Otto and Bobby Butterfield on drums, and Mark Gabalis on vocals and keyboards, and we formed Rude Awakening. And that was a great band that lasted for several years and very popular in the Seabright and Red Bank area. And, of course, Bobby Butterfield, incredible drummer, went on to start Butterfield Studios.
In
Red Bank. My wife ended up becoming the manager of Butterfield Studios.
I put all my radio shows on his page. He's up in he's up by you guys, right? His studio, his Robert Butterfield.
Bobby Butterfield. No, he's living down in Pensacola right now. Pensacola, Florida.
Okay, I wasn't sure where
he
was,
but
I know that
he had moved to New Orleans, but he got wiped out in Katrina. Settling in Pensacola, and he teaches drums down there and plays, and phenomenal drummer. We go way back. My wife was managing Butterfields. At the same time, I had decided to go to college. I never went to college when I got out of high school, even though my parents offered to foot the bill. I said, no, I'm making so much money right now. When I graduated in 75, I said, this is what I'm going to do. So I decided in the early 90s to go back to college. In the 80s, I did get a degree as a computer systems technician, a two-year degree. So I was already exposed to computers. I was always into the technical end, doing sound and mixing and all these things. I was the guy with the, my face in the manual all the time, figuring out how to run everything.
Right.
So
and,
I decided to go back to school and started taking some of the electronic music courses at Brookdale College in Lincroft. And I stuck it out, and I impressed the people there so much that they said, hey, listen, you should really consider formalizing a degree. Go after your four-year degree, and maybe, you know, we can recommend you into some type of, like, lab tech position. And, yeah, I did the work study and lab tech for a while since I was already into audio and electronic music and computers. I fit right in, and they had me tutoring all the labs and doing this and that, and that led to another door opening and then started actually being hired as a lab tech there. Meanwhile, completing degrees. And once I completed
degrees, Tom, we're going to run out of time is what we're going to run out of. So I want to go say that, yes, in the promotion I put that you were the adjunct, I guess, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly,
right,
professor.
Yeah. Make a long story short,
I
ended up becoming an adjunct professor at the college where I was going. I was also teaching the High Tech High School, which was on the grounds of Brookdale. I went on to become the full-time learning assistant of the music, speech, and dance department. So
I've
got a lot on my plate there, 40-hour week, plus doing the adjunct professor, plus trying to play out professionally. And at the same time, my wife and I, Susie and I, had our own cleaning business. So... yeah, I was not getting very much sleep.
No, I don't think so. But I want, but you know what, we only have 12 minutes, and like five of that, not five, but maybe four of that, I have to promote my not-for-profits and things. So I want you, I mean, it's been a fantastic, I knew we were going to need like 2 hours, because I knew already just from speaking with Susie over all of these years, it's at least over a decade now that we've been talking. And I know how busy you are in your home, and you moved to North Carolina in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. So I want you to have the opportunity on the interview to be able to talk a little bit about your North Carolina experience. I know you played Asheville. I know you did a lot of things with that you know, were involved in the National Slide Guitar festivals and whatever.
That's
so
one of the reasons what that brought us to the Blue Ridge Mountains. Back
like
then, there was some
slide
festival, the National Resophonic Slide Guitar Festival, sponsored by National Guitars. We're having a series of festivals in the Asheville, North Carolina area, in western North Carolina. And we had friends in the area, so we decided to visit. And I even went to the town and didn't have a guitar with me, so we bought a dobro. And I was sitting in the park in Brevard just playing my new dobro, and one of the teachers comes out. It so happens he's one of the organizers for the festival. He said, don't worry, you're playing with me.
Right.
And in fact, he gave me the last part of his set to close out the festival the first year. So I come into town without a guitar, not invited, and end up closing out the festival. So
that's
needless
great.
To say, for several years, I kept coming back doing the National Resophonic Slide Guitar Festivals. And that sort of cemented our North Carolina fever. It's so beautiful here.
Oh, I know. I love it.
The
pictures. I love it. where you live.
So it's we moved here, and I came into inheritance after my father passed away, and it was either stay in New Jersey and really suffer the consequences with real estate, or move to some place where it's a lot cheaper to live. And that was the main decision in moving to the Blue Ridge Mountains. And the first couple of years here, I played in Asheville a lot in several blues bands. But to tell you the truth, it's a real pain to have to travel 80 miles, 100 miles one way to get to the gig.
Right,
and
I'm sure.
We end up spending all the money eating, gas, and everything else, and
we come home
broke. So we said, there's got to be a better way. So he said, well, we got the studio at home. Let's, for now, just concentrating on writing original music and recording and sticking closer to the home, which was okay. I'd already done so much. I was looking forward to some solitude anyway, which is funny. I can put my Marshall on 11 and the cops don't come.
Exactly.
So we ended up meeting some of the local people who just sort of happened to be connected with a lot of people in the South, and they have their own festivals every twice a year. And this is right in our town we live in. We went, wow, this is perfect. So I became part of that, and I ended up doing the sound and mobile recording for these festivals for the past 10, 11 years.
Right, and I have
all
a lot
sorts
of
people from the Nighthawks to all sorts of people end up coming and playing these gigs. Very interesting to be in a whole new circuit, the Southern Circuit. And so that's when I spent a lot of time, but still mainly focusing on the Too Tall Tom vision of just doing, I would say it's blues-based, rock-based. But we try to make every song a little different. We try not to get into repeating ourselves a lot from CD to CD and from song to song. So at times we can get pretty eclectic. But we like that and the ability to be accepted by that.
Yeah.
So that's what we mainly did. But at the same time, word's getting around. I start producing some of the other local talent. Couple of them, one being Jim Myers, who owned the local health food store, and turns out he goes way back to, he was a medic in Vietnam, and after that he ended up becoming friends with Pete Townsend through the Mayor Baba movement, and he did a lot of acoustic songs, but he'd come in the studio and want me to flesh them out and orchestrate them into a whole, sometimes a whole orchestra and everything else. So we did that, and that ended up leading to doing some DVD projects that were all destined to be released in India, where there's a big market for these. And so I did a lot of that and produced several other people. So I started doing these side gigs, other people like John Masters and Flynn Manfinelli, and mainly acoustic acts. But I was producing them on the side all the time, keeping going with the Too Tall Tom. Like I mentioned before, we're up to like the 16th project.
Wow,
now
that's
we write so much music that from project to project, I might come out with 100 ideas and we'll whittle them down quickly to 50. And from 50, we'll whittle them down to 20 to work on. So we always have so much to go by, we end up putting out like a double CD. And the next CD we put out triple CD. So we're famous for that now. We put out double CDs for the main fact is that we have so many songs, and we do get rid of a lot because you have to be honest with yourself and say, you know, this one's so-so, you know, let's just, pitch it, you know. Keep only the good ones. So we ended up keeping so many good ones, we just started doing double CDs.
Well, I want to say that, I mean, Susie has forever been saying, Nancy, you got to come up, and she has sent me so many of your CDs, and some of them are like so really fabulous. And I actually promoted the one that you did about the thunderstorms. I put that up, that video, on my pages,
right,
on my three Facebook pages, because I thought it was really pretty awesome. And I've gotten lots of material that's from the festivals that I can listen to. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that publicly, if it's private festivals. But I want to say that Susie is, as well, a very accomplished musician and does a lot of the background. Like, she's your, you know what they say, behind every successful man, there's a great woman. And so Susie is like a musician and a singer and does a lot of the background vocals as well on your song.
And the vocals.
Kind of keeps you going. Yeah, every vocal, right.
What's funny is that both her and me, we never were known as singers or lyricists. But when we moved here, there was nobody. We didn't know anybody, so we had to sing. We had to start, you know, finding our inner poet. You know? And Susie has that knack. She's a writer also. So writing comes natural and storytelling comes natural to her. So she started off writing many, many of our lyrics. And that led to her singing them. And the more and more she's been in the studio, the more and more she's learned from the experience.
Well, you get better, you know.
Integrates it, and it's like a cycle. You know, each album comes out, and you know, she's writing deeper lyrics, you know, and also, you know, understanding the music aspect of it. So sometimes she'll just come up with a simple little keyboard line. She'll go over on the keyboard and bang it out. She goes, "Do something with this." So I'll take it and I'll orchestrate it, and she works out the vocals, and that's what we've been doing for years.
Well, you make a great couple. I know you've been together many years, over three decades, and married, and I think it's just great. And like I said, I met Susie, and she's got a great sense of humor, and we've been friends for a long time on Facebook, and it's you have a lot of laughs. I've talked to her on the phone a few times. We have a really good friendship, and she always goes, "You've got to come down, Nancy. I mean, this is for years now. You've got to, oh, I'll bring a camper up or something and drive it up and hook it up." And she goes, "Whatever you want to do, come. So in any case,
we've had people visit us and literally do that. They'll bring their RV, and they end up moving here.
it's so beautiful here, Nancy. Yeah, I know.
Waterfalls, mountains, solitude.
I know it. My brother lives in mountains. But guess what? I've got to go. It's 2 minutes to the end of our show. It went so darn fast. I have 10 of the best not-for-profits, but I want you to know the Upstage Players are still going at it, and they play with Bruce, and they just played with Bruce. They did a whole movie about Bruce, and then the Upstage Players played, and Billy and Bruce play every time he gets a chance. Bruce loves Billy still. They play together, and so music in Asbury is full force. My aunt, actually, Joan Pakula, became an Asbury angel. She was with the Asbury Park Press. I'm a big supporter of Bruce Springsteen and my brother Billy and all of, you know, the local Asbury Park musicians way back in the day. And the Jaywalkers, as a matter of fact, Johnny Shaw became an Asbury Angel. I did a little promo on that, I'm sure you saw. But I have to say to you, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm proud of myself, too, for tonight. You know why? Because I really... You got to talk so much. I am so happy. My chatter cheese worked. You were so interesting guest. I knew you'd have so much to share, and I want to thank you a million for being on the show. And,
thank you so much, Nancy. And all your listeners, twotalltom.net.
Good.
Not
dot
com.
Great.
Dot net, yes. And also on YouTube, it's twotalltomdemock. Because believe it or not, there are other Two Tall Toms out there.
Oh, really? And it's DeMock. I always pronounce it incorrectly, Demick, but it's DeMock.
Well, actually, there's a lot of pronunciations. Demick is correct, but when you're in New Jersey, for instance, the D homeroom in my school was three homerooms, and it was all Italian. Even though I'm Hispanic, it became DeMarc, sort of. And that's
all
the
right.
story.
Well,
about that.
They're giving me 2 seconds, so I've got to wrap it up.
All right.
It's been great, Tom. Please give my best to Susie. My last furry animal passed away at the end of May, so now I am free to travel. In fact, in Oregon for 15 days, November 15th, I'll be away for a while. But then I'll come back and rest up a little bit, and then once I got to get out there in the spring. Like, once it gets warm
Please
again,
do.
I have
Please
to come
do.
And visit. So, all right, you take care. Bye-bye. It's been a wonderful show, and I really appreciate your coming on, Tom. You take care.
Thank you so much,
Bye,
Nancy.
Susie. Bye, Susie. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you so much with the promo. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was bye-bye. That was really an interesting and wonderful. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, thanks,
Everyone
Nancy.
That listens. Yeah. All you need to, I'm talking to my audience still, but listen, Tom's still here. He's staying on. He's one usually people just up, they hang up. That was a great thing, and for all you musicians out there, you know, listen to it because you'll probably hear your name. I mean, I think everyone was mentioned, and if you weren't, it's just because we don't have enough time. But my not-for-profits are really the best in the state of New Jersey, and I've been doing it since I started radio because that's why I really started this show, is to give back. And I started with my good friend, Minister Steve Brigham, who is with Tent City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersy, Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio, and Allison has since left there and doing some fabulous work, but City of Angels Recovery Radio is still in existence, and these all, they've all been on my show, and they all have Facebook pages, so just go there. Well, with the exception of my next, Deb Cruz, who's hit the streets for the homeless, and she's too busy on the streets to be coming on my radio show. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. Carlos Rodriguez, Director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. Paul A. Ressler, President and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Mr. Tim McClune, Founder of Holiday Express and Restaurant Extraordinaire. I think he's got about 13 restaurants now, and he's just a wonderful humanitarian. Patricia Ario, she did so much. I'm going to mention her name. She's not doing anything not-for-profit right now, but she was part of my not-for-profit years, and now she is doing something else. But I wanted to mention her anyway. She's a great gal, and she did a lot of work for nonprofits. Philip Richards, Director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission in Asbury Park, right on Memorial Drive. And my final not-for-profit and most recent was Nick Clemens, Clarence Clemens' son, and they have a not-for-profit which is called Bullying, We're Kicking It. So, and I also am very fortunate to have a few on Broadway and it's in Long Branch, New Jersey. Dr. David Marin, he is a chiropractor and he is the owner of the Marin Wellness Center in Shrewsbury, right off Avenue of the Americas. They have chiropractic, physical therapy, doctors, by the way, acupuncture, etc. And my final one is Dr. George C. Peck of Peck Center, and he's in West Orange, and he is one of the best plastic and reconstructive surgery doctors. And I'm not even going to say anything why I saw my Dr. Peck. It wasn't cosmetic. It wasn't for any cosmetic reasons, because I'm not into that. You guys all know I look great anyway for almost 72 years old, because, I mean, it is all about giving back and doing what you love, and you'll stay young forever. With that said, I am off to go see what I want to eat for dinner. It has been a great show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And this interview will be all over the world as I promote, like, worldwide, not in every country, but in many countries. And so everybody take care until next time. I'm only doing one show a year. I'm on one show a month this year. So tune in. I've got some great guests coming up. Bye-bye, everybody. Over and out.